Jonah Carey, best-selling author, MLB writer for Granlund.com. Now, you tell us, rest versus rust doesn't really factor in here. Would you be a believer in it anyway had the Giants got extended out further than the five games by the Cardinals, or if the Royals had even been so by Baltimore? Both these teams probably as fresh as each other.
I don't think so. And here's the thing. It's not 9 days in this case. It's four or five for these two teams. And that actually works out perfectly because it allows them to set the rotation. I think the biggest issue really is that, you know, if you're playing the next day after you win, then you have to go with, you know, potentially your number three or number four guy. And that's a real disadvantage. Here, the Giants and the Royals are going to get to throw out Bumgarner and Shields in game one and five. And if it goes to game seven, they could use either one out of the bullpen, which is a big weapon. So, you know, and even back in the day, we would have said, oh, gosh, if it's, you know, a Roger Clemens type or even further back a Sandy Koufax type, then they could start three times in the seven-game series. So, you know, either way, I think it's one of those situations where that's the only thing I see being a factor. And, heck, I mean, it's possible there's some guys, maybe not to the same extent as like football, but there's probably some guys with some bumps and bruises too. Gives them a little extra healing time. So I really don't see any negatives, and I think there could be some positives.
Jonah Carey, our guest on Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. One thing we've talked about quite a bit, I think, in the last couple of weeks is the way the Kansas City Royals play the game. And I don't know if baseball is a copycat league, say like the NFL or the NHL is, but is there something to be said the way they've kind of bucked the trend a little bit with this small ball? Are we going to see an element of maybe copycat going forward?
Well, the thing is that I think there's a little bit of a misperception to some extent about the way that the Royals play ball. It's certainly true that they steal a lot of bases. They're number one in Major League Baseball on stolen bases, and they do a good job of running first to third, second to home, and all that. But the bunting thing, that was kind of a concoction of a few playoff games. During the regular season, they were middle of the pack. They didn't bunt all that much during the regular season. So that's not really in play. They really do a good job of contact hitting is what they do. They were last in the majors in strikeouts, meaning they had the best contact rate. And that's sort of reminiscent of the 2002 Angels, if anything, who were a team that played, you know, in the middle of a high offense era. They just hit a lot of singles and doubles. They hit some home runs, of course, but singles and doubles really played into it. And that's a good thing, you know. I mean, I think if you could put the ball in play, you have a chance to impact what could happen, obviously. It's, you know, potentially better than a strikeout, acknowledging that there's risks of double play. So there's that. And, you know, they have good pitching. They have a great bullpen. And they have a pretty good starting rotation. I don't think that's all that innovative. Everybody wants pitching. So, you know, to me, I look at it and I say, okay, you could argue about the copycats. But let's not forget, the Royals finished last in the majors this year in home runs and last in the majors this year in hitter walks.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to emulate that. That's bad.
I know.
That's kind of remarkable that they are where they are.
Well, I mean, yes, last in home runs is incredible. And they've obviously hit some more in the postseason. But yeah. We look at a team like the Blue Jays here, and it would be unfathomable to consider, you know, this team having any chance at winning if they were, I don't know, in the bottom five of home runs, let alone last.
Well, sure. And I think, you know, part of it comes down to just the makeup of your roster. You're not going to get rid of Bautista and Encarnacion. They're fabulous players. If it happens that your best players also strike out 150 times, you're not going to say, well, let's get rid of these guys and let's go get a bunch of Gerard Dysons who strike out 20 times but hit 220 and have no power. Obviously, that's not a good trade-off. In a perfect world, you want, I don't know, a Vladimir Guerrero type, you know, somebody who hits 40 home runs but also doesn't strike out, a Joe DiMaggio type, I guess. But that's really, really hard to find. Those are generational players. Pujols in his prime was another guy like that, too. So you sort of take what you take. I mean, I know that people want to say, oh, the Blue Jays strike out too much and they rely on the three-run homer. Yeah, but you don't want to get rid of your two best players either. So you kind of are where you are. And, you know, I think in a perfect world, maybe you try to surround those guys with seven other players who are a little bit more contact-oriented, maybe 10, 15 home run guys with some doubles and fewer strikeouts. But again, you can't have everything. You can sort of try to, you know, maneuver your roster however you want, but there's only so many available players, and sometimes you just sort of end up where you end up.
Yeah, you nailed it, because Jonah Carey from Granlund, we were all gushing collectively about the collective power of the Baltimore Orioles, who had almost 40 more home runs than the Blue Jays, and then poof, a week later, that's the randomness of the postseason. I bristled a little bit. I love when you write big picture about franchises, where they're going, the trends. I bristled a little bit about some of the romanticism about David Glass and the Royals. Can you kind of, I mean, it was a little, they laid it on a little thick at home, because fans were on the verge of walking out. Still, I'd say not all of them have come back. They're 25th in Major League attendance this year. Is this a guy that just finally, you know, instead of sticking revenue sharing money in his back pocket, put it out there and now has had some success? I don't know that there's a model. There's no blueprint to follow David Glass's ownership.
No, I don't think so. You know, I think it comes down to they had years of high draft picks and they developed well and they finally got some good players in the majors and they made some good deals. You know, I was critical of the deal that got them James Shields and Wade Davis, but it, of course it's worked out great. They developed guys like Danny Duffy and Ventura, not to mention all those position players. And, you know, that is a tribute to the personnel that they have in the front office and the scouts and the minor league coaches and so forth. I will say that Glass has improved, not so much in major league payroll, but they are spending more on international and they're willing to spend on the draft. You know, if there's a guy that costs a couple bucks, then they'll go do it. And so that works out fine. But I'm not, you know, that's as far as I'm willing to go. There's a whole separate conversation to be had about Walmart's practices. But anyway, you know, the bottom line is I think that you credit the people that David Glass hired, not so much Glass himself.
Can you talk about, there's a lot of talk right now that the Boston Red Sox might be making Yoenis Cespedes available for trade this winter. Mm-hmm. What is that going to look like?
Well, I don't know that it would be all that exciting because he's only under contract for one more season. So, you know, you could have, I mean, unless it's somebody who's a generational player, Mike Trout was in his walk year or Clayton Kershaw was in their walk year, it would be a feeding frenzy. You know, whether or not they could re-sign the guy, having 1 year of Clayton Kershaw could win you the pennant. Cespedes is a good player. He's not that good. So I think it could be the type of situation where it'll help a team. But when you're talking about who you'd get back, you know, I look at it as, you know, kind of similar to Lester, right? Lester was a free agent to be, and he got, well, Cespedes in return. So I think that if you turn that around, you would get a pretty good pitcher, a pretty good hitter, or maybe a B-plus, A-minus type of prospect, but you wouldn't get, you know, a Buxton or Sano from Minnesota, a guy like that. I don't think that somebody like that is going to get traded for Cespedes. But the Red Sox right now have about 7 starting outfielders, and they got to sort that all out. And if they feel this is the best way to do it, as opposed to trying to trade, I don't know, Daniel Nava, who's not going to get you anything, then okay, I guess that makes some sense.
Jonah, thanks so much for this. Enjoy the series, and we'll be reading.
Thank you, fellas.